Hello everybody and welcome back to Cycling Mo, your cycling informant. Today something a little different. This is going to be my first preview slash betting preview that I've ever done. So you've probably read my written previews, but now we're going to do it on the podcast. Okay, so I am Cycling Mo, I am David Hunter, and we're going to take the next 10 to 15 minutes to talk you through the wonderful race that is Strada Bianchi. Now, all you people who are listening are cycling fans, so I'm not going to bore you at great length about the route or anything, but here's just a little bit of information you might want to consider. So the history of the race: Julian Alaphilippe won last year, beating Jakob Fuglsang and Wout van Aert. That was his debut, and he took the win. The year before, in terrible conditions, my good friend Tiege Benoot took the win from Bardet and Wout van Aert. Back in 2017, it was Kwiatkowski who took the win from Greg Van Avermaet and Tim Wellens. So, enough of the history. What about the route? So, same as usual, Siena to Siena. We're not talking a long race, we're talking 184 kilometres. Everything stays the same, which means that the crucial point of the race will always be starting round about Sector 7. So Sector 7 is a tough one, there's lots of climbing, there's lots of descending, and that's when the teams will really start to put the pressure on, try and slim down the bunch and make it a reduced group. From then on, every sector and every flat bit of road is another point where teams can put pressure on and try and isolate some of the team leaders. Sector 8, Monte Santa Maria, is the longest section, usually sees lots of action, and this year will be no different. Once we get towards the end, we've got some short, steep sections that have been used in the past for riders to attack and go on to take the win. Basically, the winning move can go anywhere in the last 50k. That's why we love the race, I suppose. Weather. Okay, so the race has moved from spring to summer, and we will have about 37 degree heat, which is going to be horrible for some riders. This is really, really hot. The classics guys, the Belgians, some of them will not cope particularly well with this. Interestingly, I did interview Tiege Benoot for this race, and he mentioned he was slightly concerned about the heat, and he said that it reduces how many shots a rider will have. So how many efforts you're able to do will decrease because of the temperature. So instead of being able to maybe attack five times, you might only be able to attack once or twice. It is about timing of that shot. And that leads us on to tactics. So we have, as usual, some very, very strong teams for this race. Quick Step have got Julian Alaphilippe, Zdenek Stiba, Bob Jungels, Casper Asgreen. Four big hitters, and they would hope that all four of them would be there in the front group after Sector 7. Sunweb, Tiege Benoot, Søren Krag Andersen, Mark Hirschi, Nicholas Roach. Strong, but obviously not as strong as Quick Step. Astana, Fuglsang, Lutsenko, both Izagiris. Remember, both Izagiri brothers are cyclocross riders. This is not going to be a race that they're scared of. They will handle the bikes incredibly well. Astana are coming in with a good team, and they normally start the new season in winning fashion. Okay, this is not the start of a new season, but remember, Astana usually come down from altitude hot. Then we've got the teams that don't have much support. CCC, Greg Van Avermaet, Simon Geschke. Bora, Peter Sagan, Matt Shackman. Ineos, Kwiatkowski, Moscon. And then we've got the riders who really don't have teams that I regard as being particularly strong. We've got Van Aert, Pogacar, Betty All, Toons, and then the man himself, Matthew van der Poel. He is the rider everybody's scared of. He is the rider who starts as the bookies' favourite. This race is made for him with his cyclocross background. How will the other teams beat him? That is what they're going to all be thinking about over the next couple of days, and all the tactics will be based around that. His team is weak. He is a sensational cyclist. Take him anywhere near the finish and he's going to beat you to a pulp. So he must be dropped early. That's why things should kick off really early on, Sector 7, and you want to get him isolated, no teammates, and then you can start rotating who attacks. One little word of warning, A team will always miss out on the front group, so there will be somebody to chase. It won't all be on Van der Poel's shoulders. He has shown in the past, Amstel Gold last year, he can win even with a weak team. So you've got to consider what you're going to do from a betting point of view. That's essentially what this podcast is all about. How are you going to bet on this race? So first of all, we need to consider the odds. So as I mentioned, Van der Poel is a big favourite. So Van der Poel, he is 4-1 across all bookmakers. That is the best you're going to get for him. He's on a weak team. This is his debut. It's incredibly hot. Everybody wants to try and beat him. Do you think that's value for money? Do you think you're going to put a bet on Matthew van der Poel at 4-1 in this type of crazy race? For me personally, the answer is no. Now, how I would go about this one day race is I would give myself 10 points. It's up to you how much money you think that should be. It could be £10, £50, £100, £1,000. You decide what 1 point is. For a one day race like this, I would take 10 points and then I would consider each of the riders. If you're going to back Van der Poel, you're probably going to have to put 9 points on him. And that leaves 1 point to put on somebody else at longer odds. But backing Van der Poel at 4-1 for me is not worth it in this type of race. Then we move on to Alaphilippe. Now you can get 5-1 on Alaphilippe at Unibet, Betway, 888. And he is 11-2 at Bet365. And he's actually, his odds are drifting a bit. Now, his odds are drifting because he has already come out and said that he is not going to be in his best shape at the start of the season. He wants to peak a little bit later on. However, you've got to decide whether or not you believe him or not. Okay? But the same goes for Alaphilippe, but goes for Van der Poel. If you're going to back him, you're going to have to put a big bet on him. 8 points, 9 points. Putting all your eggs in one basket, it's not really advisable in this race. The last thing you want to do is see a group of riders go up the road and your pick is stuck in the peloton. You have no chance and you're going to watch the last 20k crying your eyes out. So how would I go about doing this? I would want to spread my bets in this race because it's so unpredictable. I would probably pick four riders and I would go 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, 1 point. That's how I would spread my bet around here. Because anything can really happen in this race. We've got three or four really strong teams and any one of their main riders could disappear up the road as long as the breakaway contains other strong teams. So we could have a situation where the break, the front group has a quick step, a Sunweb and an Astana rider, and then there's nobody left to chase and they go off to win it. So when you're picking your riders, I would suggest looking at some of the strong teams and then deciding on what you're going to do. I would like to mention Bora. Bora are flying just now. Their big altitude camp up in Austria obviously has worked a treat. They arrive without this, not the strongest team, but they have two of the strongest riders, Shackman and Sagan. Sagan is currently 14-1, best odds, Bet365. For me, that is a huge price, considering he is a born winner. When he normally does Strade Bianche, he's carrying more muscle because he's going to do the classics. Now, he will be at his tour weight, near enough, and we know what he's like in the Tour de France. He is a beast. I think Sagan looks like the value in this market at 14. Not always liking the heat, but if he can cope in the Tour de France, he can cope in Italy. So he would be one I would be looking at. Now, you might want to take Shackman and not Sagan. Shackman just signed a new four-year contract, was incredibly good here last year, but he was unlucky. He had a puncture at a bad time, got back in the front group, then was dropped. Shackman has all the attributes you need to win in this race. Then you'd have to think about, do I want to take a quick step rider? Well, the answer to that is yes. This is a one-day race. One of my secret rules, well, I'll share with you now, always back a quick step rider. Your choice is Alaphilippe at 11 to 2. You've got Stiba, best odds, 16 to 1. You've got Bob Jungles, best odds, 33 to 1 with Betway. Casper Asgreen, best odds, 40 to 1 across most bookmakers. You have to have one of these riders in your selection. There is no question about this. You must take a Quickstep rider. Sunweb, I mentioned four riders. Realistically, Benoot and Craig Anderson are their only chances of winning this race. And it's unlikely Craig Anderson will be able to do it. Tiege, at 16 to 1 with most bookmakers, represents very good value for money for me. Astana. You would probably want to take an Astana rider. Fuglsang is 10 to 1 with Sportingbet, 91 elsewhere. Lutsenko, he's kind of drifting about the place. 18 to 1 with 365. You can get 25 to 1 with Unibet. He is somebody who people have been backing. You need to have an Astana rider. I would imagine it would make a lot of sense. The problem is, with Fuglsang, a climber has never won this race. A proper climber never wins here. They go close. Bardet's been second. He's been second. But a proper climber never wins this race. Okay? So, if I'm backing somebody, I'm not going to back a proper climber. The only exception to that, maybe I would just throw in Pogacar. Pogacar can do just about everything. So, if a proper climber's going to win, it would probably be him. He's 25 to 1. For me, those odds are a little bit tight for me to get involved with him. Then we have Greg Van Avermaet. Van Avermaet has a hugely consistent performance at this race. Okay? Hugely consistent performance. He always finishes in the top 10. He is usually contending for the podium. However, he's never won here. Okay? So, you've got to consider whether or not you think he represents good value for money. For me, he represents excellent value for money. 25 to 1 with Betway. He would be one I'd be thinking about taking. Ineos. Kwiatkowski is probably their undisputed leader. 18 to 1. He had a bit of a shocker of a 2019 season. He's won here twice before. If he wins the third time, he gets a section named after him. Motivation's high. However, there's a few question marks for me about him, basically because of last season. He's not got the strongest team. However, if he can re-find that 2018 form, he would obviously be a massive threat for this race. A couple of people who I want to pick out and mention. Wout van Aert, incredible rider, third tier 2018, third tier 2019, cyclocross background, best price 14 to 1 with Betfair. Wout van Aert has to be one of the massive favourites for this race. His odds are far too big. He should be much closer to Alaphilippe and Van der Poel. Yet, going against him is his team, without Mike Tunison, who's injured after a crash. His team aren't as strong. However, Van Aert knows when to make his move in this race. He's just back from altitude. He will be getting better and better and better as the years go on. We've already seen the progression he's made at Jumbo. I expect Van Aert to be absolutely flying at the start of the season. Right. I'm not going to tell you who to pick. I've given some hints there. I would want to go for three riders, kind of medium priced. So I'm talking about somebody who's between 10 and 25 to 1. I would want three of those riders. I would want to try and target some of the bigger teams. And then I would have a 1 point on somebody who's a little bit higher odds. It's up to you how you're going to spread that around. What I will mention are two value picks. I'm not a one for talking about value an awful lot because people often waste money by backing riders who are at big odds because they think it's a value bet. But if you scroll through the riders who are over 100 to 1, in my opinion, two will jump out. First one, Astana, Yoni Zagiri, 225 to 1 with Betfair. Considering he's a ex-cyclocross rider. In fact, he still does a lot in the winter up in the Basque Country. That is a huge price, as Astana are possibly the second strongest team in this race. Now, obviously, as the race goes on, it might not develop the way it should do for Izagirre to ride for himself. He might have to ride for Fuglsang or Lutsenko, but that is the risk you take when you go for such big odds. Jon Izagirre, 225-1. That looks value to me. The other one, Simon Geschke, 300-1 at Betway. Riding with CCC, has started the season, well, he did start the season incredibly well. Very experienced rider, knows how to win a race, knows how to look after himself. Yeah, he might be working for Greg Van Avermaet, but you never know how it goes in the closing stages. He could be away in the front group. Now, backing these riders at such big odds very rarely pays off, but I know some of you love some long odds chasing. So, that is my Strada Bianchi preview. If you want to read more, head over to Twitter, head to cyclismointernational.com. You'll get my written preview there for more in-depth analysis. If you like this, rate it, give it a wee review, say something nice, and we might do this again another time. Over and out.